right? When you came to the temple, you probably thought you were going to come to the lotus feet of Radha Gopivallabha. You have come, but we're also going to visit Navadvip Dham this evening. I was asked specifically to speak. I was told that you're, since Gorpanima, you've been discussing in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and it's been Goraliva time in Boston. So, in my previous visit to India, it was with a group of devotees in Mayapur, and we visited the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And while there, some photos were taken, so I thought when I come back, I can share that experience with all people here in America who may have. How many people have been to Mayapur here? Oh, you're an experienced group. Very nice. For those of you that haven't, Mayapur is the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. There's a painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is known in scripture as that form of the Lord who, in our present age of Kali, established, brought with him and established the primary means of achieving spiritual perfection for this age of Yuga Dharma. And that's what we just did, chanting the holy names of the Lord. Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. The next picture or image, if this thing will work, will help us also to appreciate the unique position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Vaishnava scriptures, there are six categories of forms of the Lord that appear in this world. The word is avatar. Avatar means one who descends, and there's six categories of them. Commonly known are the Leela avatars. Leela avatars of our Lord Srinidhe. And Matsya Korma Varaha, Vamana, Buddha, Krishna and Balaram, Lord Ramachandra, these are Leela avatars. I won't go through all six of them because I want to get to Lord Chaitanya. But amongst all those avatars, there's one that's the avatari, that's the source of all those avatars. Within the source of all those avatars, all of the other forms of the Lord find their shelter or are included within. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a list of various incarnations of the Lord. And then a statement is made amongst all of these, one is the source of all of them, and that's Sri Krishna. It is Eti Chansakala Kumsa Krishna Su Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna, when he appears in once in the day of Brahma, that's a long time. So many zeros go after how many years in the day of Brahma. 4,320,000 times 1,000 times 2, that many. In each day of Brahma, there's that many cycles of the four yugas. So many years. So, once in that day of Brahma, Krishna appears in Vrindavan. And just after Krishna appears in Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, and unique feature, listen carefully, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the same as Radha and Krishna. Here's the explanation. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Radhini Shakti Asma means Krishna is actually Radha and Krishna in two forms, just like on the altar, Radha Gopi Vallabha. The form of Radha is the Radhini potency, the pleasure potency, and the possessor of that potency. So although the forms are two, the entity is one. Use the example of the sunshine and the sun. Has anybody seen sunshine somewhere without a sun, or a sun somewhere without a sun without sunshine? You can't separate the two. You can't break off a ray of sun and put it in your pocket, go down the street and say, all right, I'll get a ray of sunshine in my pocket. That ray of sun exists in relation to the sun itself. So Radha exists as the pleasure potency of Krishna. They are one entity, although in two forms. But when those two forms take one form, or two entities, two, the potency and the potent take one form, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so in the places of Krishna's pastimes, all of the sacred places of all the forms of the Lord are present, and the same can be said about the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And when you visit Navadvipa, someone that's familiar with the place can show you where the places of Krishna's pastimes are also present in Navadvipa. So that makes it sound like they're the same, and it's true they're the same, but this caption says it's actually the crest jewel of all holy places, and here's why. Even superlative to Vrindavan, well, in a certain way superlative to Vrindavan, is Navadvipa. Because when the avatars of the Lord present themselves in this world, so the Supreme Lord is existing in the spiritual world, he creates the material world, he descends in this material world. He manifests all of his opulences that are found in the spiritual world. And when one experiences those opulences of the Supreme Lord of the spiritual world, it invokes awe and reverence, because his opulences are so astounding. When Krishna appears, those same opulences are there in fullness, but there's a special sweetness, or madhurya, a sweetness of Krishna's loving exchanges that's so strong it eclipses the opulences of Krishna, so that his devotees can't even see, although he's exhibiting his opulences, they can't see his divinity, like Krishna stepping over downhill. And everyone's thinking, oh, Nanda Maharaj is very strong, he's able to lift over downhill with his cane. Nanda Maharaj is thinking, my son thinks he's lifting the hill, but actually I'm lifting the hill. And the other cowherd's voice are there ready in case that he starts to serve. Our Mother Jasoda looks inside the mouth of Krishna, just like this painting here on the wall. She looks inside the mouth of Krishna to see if little son has been eating dirt, because Balaram said he's been eating dirt. So she looks to see, because Krishna said, it's not true, Balaram's lying. I'm not eating dirt. And then you see inside your mouth. So she looks inside Krishna's mouth, and what does she see? She sees the whole cosmic manifestation, with all the stars and luminaries and planets and all the demigods and all the rivers and mountains and everything in existence inside Krishna's mouth. Including seeing herself looking inside Krishna's mouth, And she thinks, I must be that. Seeing him never to lie down and grab something wrong. Because he can't. She can't. And her love for Krishna is so intimate, she can't see his divinity. His sweetness covers that divinity. Madhurya covers the Aishwarya. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila, he has the same opulence as he has the same sweetness. But the munificence or the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so strong that it even covers those two. And so the most prominent feature of Mahaprabhu's Leela is his compassion, his munificence. And therefore, the best jewel of all holy places, Sridhar Navadvipa, we're going to take a little visit here. We certainly should dedicate our visit to the holy place to Chaitanya, to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. There's a verse quoted here from the first canto of the Bhagavatam indicating that saints of his caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage because within their heart they're carrying the personality of Godhead. Wherever they go, they sanctify that place as a place of pilgrimage. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, those of us who have been there, that's how we got there, by his mercy. And so we'll offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada for his mercifully directing us to the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Srila Prabhupada received that mercy from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who received the instruction from his spiritual master, Bhakti Minod Thakur, to establish places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes that had been lost. By his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who received in a dream, received direct instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to not go to Vrindavan, which was his plan, but instead go to Navadvipa and reestablish those places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and his teachings, restore them. And so we're going to visit one of those places that's actually the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that was rediscovered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, along with him came his eternal associates. We're going to see one verse that says that. And his principal eternal associates are these five. Of course, himself in the middle. But Lord Nityananda, who is the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his direct extension, serving in the mood of his servant, his elder brother, serving as his servant. And Advaita Acharya was also in the same category, Vishnu-tattva category, a form of the Lord, who is the manifester of the cosmic manifestation, the whole universe. Gadadhar is his pure spiritual potency, like Srimati Radharani is unto Krishna. And Srivas, who is the pure devotee of the Lord. So these five are the manifestations. Right here in Boston, I'll share this with you. Some number of years ago, can't remember how many, I first lived in the first temple I lived in was in the Boston Temple. I go. I joined the movement, the Hare Krishna movement in the Boston Temple.
What year?
1970. Dates me, right? So, when we were in, it was in Alston, there was a house that was rented, we didn't own the building. There was a printing press. Prabhupada wanted, as Bhaktisiddhanta had, a printing press. And in that printing press, it was when Prabhupada was beginning to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita. and in hardback version, as well as a paperback version, as well as the whole volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. Prabhupada wanted us to know about Lord Chaitanya and the five features. In fact, that was the worship that all centers did. We didn't have deities. We had what was called Gururanga altars. It was the Panchatattva. This very painting, or the copy of this painting, is what how we worshipped in the very beginning. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip, this is a map of Navadvip, he moved about throughout all the places of Navadvip, and it's called Navadvip because Nav means nine, and Dvipa means island. So the tributaries of the Ganges literally divided the whole tract of land into nine islands, meaning surrounded on all sides by tributaries of the Ganges. And the central island was this one here, Antardvi. On the left-hand side are the nine islands. Over here are the nine processes of devotion. So we're not going to visit all nine islands. We're going to visit Antardvi, the central island. It's like a inside of a lotus flower with eight petals, there's a whorl, and the whorl is that central island, Antardvi. The other eight islands are like petals of that lotus. Here's another diagram showing it more visually. The Antardvi is called the Yogpith. That's a term found in the Bhagavatam, the place where the Supreme Lord resides, in that central island, was the starting place of a pilgrimage in Navadvip that was conducted by Lord Nityananda, standing on our right side. The places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were explained to Jiva Goswami. Now, some of you people are new. All of this isn't going to mean anything to you. We have new people here. This is like, can't relate to what we're speaking, or we're okay. I just keep going. Okay. I'm just going to keep going. You're veterans here in Boston. You know, you can give the class yourself and know all these things. So, Lord Nityananda is the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was his principal assistant in giving the pure holy name to others. Jiva Goswami was the son of the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa and Sanatan were brothers. And they had a third brother whose name was Anupam. Anupam's son is Jiva Goswami, who later became one of the six Goswamis. Anupam died shortly after Jiva was born. So Jiva Goswami knew about Lord Chaitanya, but he had never met Lord Chaitanya. And when he was just a teenager, old enough to travel, with permission of his mother, he wanted to go to the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So he went to Navadvip. And by the grace of the Lord, Lord Nityananda was there. And he took him on a pilgrimage. And the details of that pilgrimage are described in a book called Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Mahatmya means the glories. The glories of Navadvip Dham, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when you go to Navadvip, the persons who will take you to those places will often follow the narration that Lord Nityananda gave to Jiva Goswami about those places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. What you see in the background is a vision of a large lotus flower, and on top of the large lotus flower is a huge temple. And that huge temple, Adbhuta Mandir, is described in Ananta Samhita, that after Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, this is from thousands of years ago, Ananta Samhita describes in detail about Lord Chaitanya, his places of pastimes, what would happen after he left. After he left, it describes, the course of the Ganges will shift. And when the Ganges shifts, it will shift in such a way that all those places will be submerged under the Ganges for 200 years. 200 years. Completely submerged. After 200 years, the course of the Ganges will shift again, thus exposing the places of Mahaprabhu's pastime. That's why they were lost. But one huge temple will appear. That's this one, described in Ananta Samhita. And it's that huge temple that one day Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw in a vision at night from the other side of the Ganges River, standing on the rooftop, or the veranda rather, of Rani Dharamshala, a place in Navadvip. And he was looking and saw in the middle of where is just rice fields. Anyone who's been to Bengal knows it's just miles and miles and miles and miles of rice fields. In the middle of what's just rice fields, he saw a brilliant, luminous, huge temple. And he thought, what's that? And the following evening, he saw it again, and he brought his son, and look at that huge temple. And so, Srila Prabhupada described that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur described it in his own autobiography, he went to that place where he saw this vision of this huge temple, and he didn't find a huge temple. He found not even a rice field. He found a patch of land that wouldn't grow anything except one thing. Tulsi. The local villagers, they were Muslim agriculturalists, they considered the land worthless. It didn't grow rice. It didn't even grow eggplants. My party. What do you grow eggplants? Useless. It only grows tulsi. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur found that out, he said, this must be the place. He asked some local sadhus, very old men, is there some history behind this place? They said, yes, there's some history. When people go to pass stool because it's a place that won't grow vegetables, flame comes up and burns their bottoms and they can't. It's known by amongst our sadhus as the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur established, he bought the land because nobody wanted it, and then he brought his instructing spiritual master Jagannath Das Babaji to that location. At the age of 130, he couldn't move. He had to be carried in a basket because his body was so infirm. And when Jagannath Das Babaji reached that place, he jumped out of the basket and started exclaiming, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, this is the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. Later I'm going to show you some archaeological evidence confirming that was the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. So keep your seatbelt fastened, we're about to get there. So in addition to finding that place of Mahaprabhu's appearance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur established many other of the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes based on the same spiritual acumen, along with the fact that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a government officer, he had access to old writings and government maps and all kinds of things that ordinary people would not have otherwise access to. But mainly it was a spiritual qualification, a spiritual acumen. He found and established these are various places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There's a very important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance along with the Panchatattva. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangasra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Vijanti Nisaveda Saha. That is, it's describing the, I mentioned this before, Yuga avatars, forms of the Lord that appear in each of the ages of mankind to establish the means of achieving spiritual perfection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that person who was constantly engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord and appeared along with his associates, servants, weapons, astras, and parshadas, his confidential companions. And was always engaged in chanting the holy name. So throughout the whole of Navadvipa, Mahaprabhu did like that. With the Sankirtan party, they would just travel here and there throughout all the areas of Navadvipa, chanting and engaging others in chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is a prayer that we offer to Lord Chaitanya, as Rupa and Sanatana Goswami did. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He gave Krishna Prema Pradayate very freely, so magnanimously. What no other incarnation even offered before. He simply gave it away. Here, take it. And who is he? He is Krishna himself. Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Name, Gaura Trishe Namaha, whose complexion is golden. And he's none other than Krishna himself. And not only he gave it to others, he tasted it himself, and sometimes in solitude like this, chanting Krishna's name and feeling the ecstasy of love of God, sometimes, as depicted here, tears streaming from his eyes, showing symptoms of bhava or ecstasy in love of God. The painting of Mahaprabhu in Gambira in Jagannath Puri, after he accepted sannyas, at the request of his mother, he didn't go to Vrindavan, but instead he went to Puri, where he engaged constantly in chanting of the holy name. So now we're going to visit Antardvipa, that place where Mahaprabhu appeared. And the island of Antardvipa is known particularly for its complete surrender unto the personality of Godhead. Atmanivedana. This is, there are 9 processes of bhakti, as I mentioned very briefly. This island manifests the fullness of surrender unto Krishna. And this is the Yogpi, I mentioned that name a moment before. That's the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And where his mother and father, Jagannath Mishra, and Mother Sachi lived. And there's the original temple of Bhakti No Thakur. That's not the big tall one that you see, but we'll see it before we finish this evening. And Bhakti No Thakur's Bhajan Kuja, where he would sit and chant the holy name. There's a painting, a photo of the Yogi. This is architecture that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally designed. This is from another angle, looking at the Yogi. And this is from the roadside. There's, just right here is the arch, the entryway. And there's the main altar. We'll take a close-up look at each of the 3 altars, but Lord Chaitanya with his 2 wives, we'll describe that in a moment, central altar. And so here's the last altar, Radha Madhava. Radha Madhava. is the presiding deity, who is supposed to have been a picture of Radha Madhava way back in this PowerPoint. I don't know what happened. It's the one that were in Mayapur. Anyway. Madhava, Prabhupada indicates, means the husband of the goddess of fortune. In the spiritual world, Lakshmi Narayan are there. And in Krishna's Leela, that manifests as Radha Madhava. So Madhava is the husband of the goddess of fortune, and Srimati Radharani is by his side. And the central altar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with, when he was young, at the request of his mother, he married Lakshmi Priya. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a teacher. He was a Sanskrit grammar teacher and very expert. So expert that so many other young boys wanted to be his student. One time he was on a teaching tour and he went for a long distance into now Bangladesh. He was gone for such a long time that his wife, Lakshmi Priya, according to his biographers, she died bitten by the serpent of separation. So when he returned back to his home, his mother was in great distress. At his mother's request, he accepted a second wife, who was Vishnu Priya. These are his pastimes. Just like Krishna and Radha, they're eternal associates. And Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya are also his eternal associates. And I'm going to draw your attention right here. We're going to see a close-up of this next. This is a... Well, here it is. This is a Shiva, or a deity of Vishnu, that was found when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, under the order of his father, constructed this large temple. And as they were digging for the foundation, they found within the mud of what was previously underneath the Ganges mud and layers and layers and layers of Ganges mud way down, was this deity that was worshipped by Jagannath Mishra. The very spot, not even close, the very spot where the temple is where Jagannath Mishra's home was so many hundreds of years ago. Archaeological evidence. For us, as Vaishnavas, even stronger than finding the deity of Jagannath Mishra was the exclamation of the confirmation of Jagannath Das Babaji by his spiritual power. Had it not been the finding of that deity, it still could be known for certain. That's how Vaishnavas accept the conclusions of things spiritually. Here's the Panchatattva third altar, Panchatattva altar, and Jagannath in the middle. Going away from the roadside is the neem tree under which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. Of course, this isn't the original 500-year-old neem tree because everything was underwater. But in that very spot, a neem tree grew. And beneath that neem tree was the little cottage, or the residence of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. And as you can see, the local pilgrims, they worshipped this tree because the tree gave shelter, and underneath the tree, Mahaprabhu was born. Here's the little shrine where Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi are seated, where the house of Jagannath Mishra was, and on her lap is little Nimai. And this is another photograph with another outfit in another season. The appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you probably heard in Gorpuri in the time, was brought about. One of the causes of Mahaprabhu's appearance was the intense appeal by Advaita Acharya to petition the Supreme Lord to appear. It said in Chaitanya Charitamrita there were three external reasons for the Lord's appearance. One, he made a promise in Bhagavad Gita that says, Pritranaya sadhunam dinashaya chaduskritam dharasam sapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He promised, I'll come sambhavami yuge yuge. I'll come, I'll advent myself from millennium to end, from time to time, when there is requirement in order to protect my devotees, annihilate the miscreants, reestablish dharma. So he made that promise. The second reason was, it was the coincided with the time for the Yuga avatar to manifest. So he did it himself. He manifested the chanting of the holy name as the primary means of spiritual perfection for this age. The third reason is this one. Advaita Acharya was a Vaishnava. He was the most senior, elevated, pure Vaishnava. And it pained him too much to see how people were leading their lives in such materialistic ways. They didn't have television then. They were just absorbed. They were very, Navadvipa was a seat of higher learning. And so there are so many very scholarly, very elevated, very qualified Brahmins misusing that qualification simply for material purposes. And it pained him too much. So he was agonizing over this difficult situation. And he thought of a verse from the Kadma Purana in which it says that the Supreme Lord will be pleased and obliged if you offer him with pure love even a palmful of water and the buds of a tulsi plant. So he took that. He took the leaves and the manjaris of a tulsi and Ganges water and worshipped in Shalagram Shila by the side of the Ganges River, calling out with loud voice, my Lord Hari, please come. Day and night he was calling with a loud, fervent prayer, and that invoked the Supreme Lord's compassion to appear. And he appeared, as the painting shows, on a full moon night when there was a full lunar eclipse. Now, I was in PR. Were you in Mayapur when they had also a full lunar eclipse? 1975, is that when it was?
I don't remember. Do
you remember being there?
I was there.
Do you remember what a madhouse it was? I'll describe a little bit. Here's my memory. It said in scripture, at the time people were not chanting. But when there's a lunar eclipse, it's said to be so auspicious, there's two things that you're recommended in the scripture to do. Enter into the Ganges, half submerged within the Ganges water, and loudly call out the holy name of the Lord. So they did. Although people were so materialistic, they were calling out, Krishna! And the crescendo, the sound vibration, was going in all directions. They didn't need an amplification system. Everyone was chanting very loudly, Krishna's holy name. So whatever that year was, it was a similar event, and I thought it was very fortunate that we could be there on the same circumstance, a full lunar eclipse. But when I saw how many thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, where did everybody come from? And where did they think they were going? Because the answer is only so many feet of entering into it, and then the people were going in, and more people wanted to go in, and you go out into the current of the Ganges, and you're downstream. Even if you're a good swimmer, you're downstream. And I thought many people are going to drown. This is very dangerous. We entered the Ganges and chanted very loudly and got out of the Ganges before the crowd said, "Who did that?" I did, the devotees I was with. But at the time of Mahaprabhu's appearance, all auspiciousness was created, not only the auspiciousness of the eclipse, but the chanting of the holy name. And at that circumstance, Mahaprabhu appeared. And when he appeared, as was the custom, all the village people came and brought presentations, gifts, to the newborn child. But it was just a very wonderful transcendental arrangement to turn the piety of those people into devotional service. Because it wasn't just a gift to a newborn child, it was to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra were just amazed at the opulence that was being offered to their son. Here's another depiction of this, with the demigods offering their showering flowers. Next to Sachi and Nimai is the elder brother of Nimai. His name is Vishwarup, and Jagannath Mishra and various presentations being brought for Nimai. One of the persons who came to offer gifts was the wife of Advaita Acharya. Her name was Sita, just as in Sita Ram. So when she came, because she's the wife of Advaita Acharya, who knew that this isn't just the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi, this is the personality of God. And when she saw the beauty of this newborn child, as you see from the painting, she could understand, this is Krishna. And could you imagine seeing Krishna in a little golden child form, knowing that that's Krishna? She was ecstasy. But she knew the mood of Mother Sachi, so she didn't disclose her heart. But she felt herself so fortunate to see this little child, and she gave one of the names. She gave the name Nimai, because before Nimai was born, the first 8 daughters born of Mother Sachi died shortly after birth. And so for the protection of the child, she named him Nimai, because it was understood that neem has many beneficial properties, one of which is it's medicinal. It's like an antiseptic, a natural antiseptic. But it also gives protection. So may the neem tree under which Nimai was born give him protection. So she called him Nimai. And the pastimes of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra are exactly in the same mood as the pastimes of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj with little baby Krishna. So those wonderful pastimes, they're described in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And because they were described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, they weren't repeated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm just going to quickly, what time do we have to end?
There's an RD at 8:30.
Okay. We end at 8:30. Okay. I'll go roaring past these pastimes for 10 minutes and we'll get it finished. When he was just very small, Nimai would cry unless people would come and chant Krishna's name. And as soon as they would begin chanting Krishna's name, he'd stop crying and smile. Such a beautiful smile. So all the ladies would come, and as you see, they would chant and clap their hands and sing, and he'd smile and smile in such a beautiful way. And as soon as they stopped, he'd cry again. And so all day long they would come. It was just wonderful fun. They would come and have kirtan all day long chanting, and he would smile and smile as long as they would chant. He was inducing others to chant even in his childhood, infancy. And the ladies would clap their hands and he would raise his arms and sing and smile. And sometimes he would, a little older, he'd get the other little boys come together in a circle and dance, and the elder brahmanas and brahmanis were so delighted to see this miraculous little boy. How much he appreciated the chanting of the holy name. And in many ways he behaved in past times like an ordinary child, although he was the personality of Godhead. One of those pastimes was Mother Sachi saw inside their home, because the inside their home was just earthen floor. They didn't have nice flooring like this. It was just earthen floor. And she saw little footprints. The footprints had the symbols of Vishnu imprinted in the footprints. And she wondered, how is this in the floor of our home? And so she saw the footprints were going outside the door and into the courtyard. She followed the footprints, and then she saw little Nimai crawling in the courtyard, and she picked him up. And her affection was so maternal, in love of God, she just became overwhelmed and forgot to look at the soles of his feet to see that's actually where the footprints were coming from. Her love for Nimai was so strong, she couldn't even think of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One time, he also crawled out of the house and he saw out in the yard a huge snake. And as soon as he saw the snake, he went toddling toward the snake, and the snake made a coil, just like a nantashesh. In fact, it was a nantashesh, there to render some service. And Nimai was reclining in the bed of Anantashesh, very happy. But when Mother Sachi saw, my son, there's the coils of a serpent. Quit, Jagannath Mishra, do something. He came running in, the snake saw this big commotion, so the snake uncoiled and slithered away, but at least he got a chance to serve little Nimai in that way, as Lord Ananta serves Lord Vishnu. This is going to be the last slide. This pastime is very nice. It's described in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where one elder Brahmin renunciate was traveling throughout all the holy places of India, and one of those places that he happened to come to was Navadvipa, because it was also known as a place of pilgrimage. And when he reached Navadvipa, the residents of Navadvipa sent him to see Jagannath Mishra. Oh, he is the senior most member in all of our community. Surely he'll be very happy to see you. Go to his home. So he went to Jagannath Mishra's home and he received that Brahmana renunciate very happily. They just sat down and began, after receiving him, speaking Krishna Katha all day long. So much ecstasy there, they didn't even notice the time passed. The night had fallen. And then Jagannath Mishra said, I understand from our conversation that it's your practice that you fast all day long and in the evening you eat once a day. That was his program. So may I have the honor of preparing or providing you with all the ingredients? Because the practice was he wouldn't accept the cooking of others. He cooked himself and offered to his deity. He had a little pouch, and his deity was a Shila. And he made the cooking and made the offering to a Shila, and he would eat. So the Brahmana agreed. I'll say it quickly because we want to catch the arti. It happened three times. I'm spoiling the story, but for time's sake. Three times. He made the offering, cooked it, brought before his deity, and those of you that know the process of deity worship, you invite the Lord to come and take the meal. So he called out, Gopal, come and take your meal. And hearing the call, little Nimai came coming up and came to start eating the meal. And the Brahmana grasped his hand and said, oh no, hi, what's happened? The child has spoiled my offering. And Jagannath Mishra came out and, oh, Nimaya, what have you done? You've spoiled everything. Now the Brahmin has nothing to eat. What have you done? And before even the deity has accepted the offering. Nimaya, what a terrible thing you've done. And Nimaya went running off. And the Brahmin said, it's all right. It's the plan of the Lord. I should fast today. No, no, no. You're in my home. You're a guest. It would be terrible. Big offense, please. After much effort, all right. We'll wash everything, bring everything in here. You can cook. I'll keep my son in a separate room. I'll watch him personally. So when he came to the offering, Gopal, my Lord, please come and accept your offering. He might snuck around his father and take me the offering. The Brahmana was undisturbed. As I said, it's the Lord's plan. Please understand, I travel all the time. I'm accustomed to fasting. It's not a problem at all. Oh, you're a guest in my home. It's the custom. I can't let you fast. So Vishwarup came, Nimai's brother, and as soon as the Brahmin saw Vishwarup, he was stunned to see his beauty, and he just stopped and listened. And Vishwarup described, my father is a very respectable Brahmin, and his religious principles need to be protected. As his son, I'm pleading with you. My father will never forgive himself. You're austere. It's easy for you to fast. That I understand. My father's heart will be broken. Please. I'll first retake my brother to another home. To lock the door. Please accept this. It's so late. It's okay. No. Finally, for the third time, everyone's fast asleep by now, but it's very late at night. Gopal, please come and accept my offering. And while everybody was asleep, Vidhimai came and began eating the offering the third time. And when the Brahmana started to call out, Nimai showed the form of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. And the Brahmin was stunned. And then he realized, this is not just a little boy. This is the Personality of Godhead. And that form of the Lord then spoke to the Brahmin and said, actually, my dear Brahmin, you are my eternal associate. Long ago, when I appeared as Krishna in Vrindavan, in the house of Nanda Maharaj, you also visited and requested alms. And Nanda Maharaj was feeding you, and three times, same thing, I ate your offering, and then showed you my divinity. And now, in my form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I am showing you my identity once again. One request I make, please don't disclose this to anyone, or you'll be destroyed. And little Nimai then crawled off and went into his room and took rest. In the morning, Jagannath Mishra woke up. The Brahmin was unable to sleep. Can you imagine? The Lord of my life has come to show me his form. Jagannath Mishra asked, how did you go the third time, my dear Brahmin? Oh, it was very nice. The offering was successful. Oh, the offering was very successful. The Lord accepted my offering and told me. He wanted to tell Jagannath Mishra the fact that he was ordered by the Lord to not tell. And so many other pastimes at another time will describe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes in another week. May you all someday get a chance to visit there. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Premanand ki jai.